Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
שלום. הרי אני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept on myself the due command, the due utterance of love your neighbor, your friend, the person in front of you or not in front of you, the same way that you express love to yourself. I remember the feeling of fear and uncertainty when I heard the sound of a siren for the first time. Not the siren of a police car or fire truck or an ambulance. It was a siren that sliced through the air, no matter where I was. It was a siren that shook the house, the street, the walls, and the heart. It was the sound of fear that says, I'm coming for you. I was just heading out of our kitchen at home when suddenly this deafening and pulsating siren cut through the silence in the house. I remember it was going up and down and stronger and stronger. I was rushed quickly by my mother to put my shoes on and go down to the shelter located under our three-story building. Everybody was panicking. We ran down the stairs towards the shelter. I saw their neighbors, I saw friends. Everybody was crammed into this size of two rooms, sitting on the floor or some chairs that were there. At the age of five, all I knew is that we were running because something might fall on us. Don't know even why. I was told that maybe the enemy will drop a bomb on us. Why did someone want to drop a bomb on our house? What did we do? Why did someone hate us? What is a bomb? This was the evening of the Yom Kippur War in 1973. That chilling Triton siren sound became an integral part of my life living in Israel, and every time I heard it, my hair on my hand was standing. Before my mind could contemplate what is happening, my body knew immediately to contract and go into a survival mode. This past week was the last day of Passover. A very powerful, energetic time of transforming from old state of mind to a new state of mind, to a different state of mind. A choice to move from a place that doesn't serve you, doesn't serve the other. To a different place. Also, this week was the Holocaust Memorial Day. Coincidentally, I don't know if it was coincident that all these happened this past week. But this day was a remembrance a remembrance day of people who perished. People who were systematically slaughtered. Not because they were involved in acts of terror. Not because they killed anyone. But because they just were. They were Jewish. For the Jews in Europe, there were no sirens that sounded through the world that warned from the inconceivable atrocities that the Nazis were about to do to 6 million Jews. Nor were there any nations that decided to rise up to the occasion and intervene. Intervene because it was not what it was meant to be. Just like the 5-year-old boy in me, I still ask why. Why does someone want to hurt someone just because? Just because they were created the way they created. Why does someone want to inflict pain on someone else to assert a certain power? Why does someone chooses to take their potential of creativity and magnificent mind and use these gifts to cause negative energy? I still don't comprehend how we, humans, the jewel of the crown of the creation, the Keter, the highest in the chain of creation, the divine beings, we, who hold the most wonderful gifts, divine gifts, above everything else in this world, speech and communication, how we, instead of using our gifts for the good, for everyone, co-create. Why do we use these gifts to overpower somebody? To belittle someone else? To choose a path that is furthering us away from everyone else and from ourselves. If you and I were the only two people on the face of the earth, you take one continent, I'll take the other. Everybody else disappears, just you and I. With all the treasures of the world, with all the material existence of the world, you have everything. Eventually, where would we find ourselves? How would we find ourselves? Lonely. So why does it have to change that there are billions of people in the world? Why do I want to hide behind a computer, put my headphones on, not talk to a passing by person, not smiling? Why does that have to change? For many years, I couldn't agree with the verse in the book of Genesis that states that nature of human is negative from childhood, loosely translated. Does that mean that we are born with negativity? The word that it uses is Neurim. Neurim in Hebrew is youth, and it also means, comes from the word to shake off. And in that age, when we are still a clean slate, unaffected by the society and by the pressure We have the potential. We have the creation, the potential of taking something and making it better. The entire creation is becoming. Every day, every morning when we wake up, we have the potential. When we are young, we are like a clean slate. We choose where to go, how to do, how to be, what to say. And it is easy to fall into the dark side. It is a constant work to change that which is defaulting into the negativity. There was no siren to warn them of these atrocities that were about to happen. And if we needed another reminder that we default to negativity, then this last week of Passover, last Sunday, the last day of Passover, there was another atrocity happening. There was no siren to warn the people in the synagogue on the last day of Passover that somebody will walk into the synagogue and will start shooting just because they are Jewish. Yesterday was another siren in Israel. Over 250 rockets fired at Israel. And the tension rose again. While I sit here some 3,000 miles away from the physical effect of enduring the siren and the stress, I felt that siren vibrations go through my body. I felt the hair on my hands then. I felt that pulsating siren that again warn people within 90 seconds that something is about to fall. No one knew where or why. I'm going back to the why question of the 5-year-old boy that came here to create, to joyfully connect with others, to co-create a world as it was created to be. Full of love, full of acceptance. And I wish that from that forest of confusion, from that forest of negativity, to look up. Because it doesn't matter how many trees you're surrounded by. You can always look up and see the light and see the change that can happen. This is Queen of the Forest, Keren Malka.
שתיירות מלכת הנחלים מזו הולכת ומזמרת בשבילים ילדת השמש נערת הפרפרים זו הנושקת
This was Karen Malka, Lady of the Forest. Shalom, everyone. Welcome. Welcome. I'm Ilan Azulay. This is the Abracadabra Show, Create What You Speak. I'm your host. I'm a spiritual mentor. I'm a guide. I'm a sound therapist and a healer, using sound to bring out and to rejuvenate and to heal and to call and to co-create therapeutic channeling. We'll talk about the sound a little bit later, but this is what we do here every day, to come, well, in the show every once a week, but every day this is what I strive for, to bring awareness to what we talk, how we talk. And there is a difference between awareness and consciousness. Before I will go into that, I want to give you the phone number here. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. You're welcome to call in and to share anything that is about anything. Anything that you're experiencing. I had a post here that somebody asked a question, how do you stay positive in a negative work environment? I'm going to answer that, but anything is a go. Anything you want to ask, anything you want to share, we are here. I'm here. So together we are here. And so this week, was a special week and a sad week, and a lot of things that happened this past week. And what we do here is really to find ways to map your experience, to map your experiences. This is what is something that can happen through different modalities. meditation, sound healing. There's a lot of modalities. Everybody works differently and everybody responds differently to different modalities. But the bottom line is, how do we expand? How do we bring our vibrational quality to a higher level that is closer, that we understand, and we understand where we're coming from and where we're going to, and how to maneuver through these experiences in life. So the work is directed and is for everybody, but especially for you who are ready to reclaim your power. For you, woman, a man. But it starts with you, with the feminine. It starts with you. And it starts with you because it does. We are here because we're not there. It is no secret that the feminine has a higher state in the creation, an extra understanding, an extra bina. This is the third level in the tree of life or in Kabbalah. Keter Chochma Bina, there is the crown. Chochma is the masculine, Bina is the feminine, the knowing and the understanding, and then there is the creation of both of them together, the cohesion, the coming together. And so looking at what happened last week, the last day of Passover, and then the shooting in California, and then yesterday there's some rockets, no, some, there are over 250 rockets that were fired at Israel from Gaza. And I don't want to make, this is not about politics. This is definitely not about politics. So you're welcome to call. You want to talk about politics, that is okay. You can talk about politics. But it doesn't end with politics. It is the way that we are here, the way that we handle that, and it is a choice. Usually when somebody talks politics, usually it has some kind of a negative connotation to it. Why? Oh, because we're going to talk politics. Because this person doesn't agree to that person, and that person doesn't agree to this person. And most of the time, or many times, there are arguments, there are disagreements, and everybody then says, okay, well, we agree to disagree, which I think is really on the flat surface level, is a kind of a, I don't agree to that sentence on the surface level. But if we look underneath that, agreeing to disagree, it is coming to that understanding, to that deep understanding, that you are okay the way you are. I'm not going to, God forbid, penalize you or do something because you talk or you think in a certain way. The same thing the other way, just because you have black curly hair, for example. Or just because you have a blonde hair. Oh, so now I'm all furious about that and we need to annihilate the blonde from the places here. There is obviously a deeper thing that is going on in that person who experiences this negativity towards somebody else. This was really a kind of a throwback to times where I remember growing up in Israel. There was a lot of unrest during these times, and I remember this, and I feel that also here. So I want to first of all thank you who was there. Thank you who is there. And thank you for the families in California who endured and who suffer the loss and are staying here to cope with the loss. So what is difference? The difference between allowing or accepting the fact that you are different. To what degree? How far can that go? So if somebody says, well, you have to accept me because I hate you. Somebody says that to you. And you say, well, how is that going to manifest? So here's the thing. Many times when we start, or we open a door towards that, we open a door to that channel, to that vibration. The slippery slope is very slippery, going into this place of negativity and of anger, and of anger towards somebody, and wanting to do something to somebody because they did this or that. And that's where the world is today, for the most part, with this negativity. And in the same capacity that negativity rises, so does the positivity. I don't remember any other time since before this last decade of how expansive we became. In the same way that negativity rises, so does positivity. In the same way, there has to be a balance. They go together. And so never to give hope, because if you are here today and you are in a place of despair, or you are going through a divorce, you're going through an argument, you're going through arguing with somebody who doesn't really like you, for whatever reason, first of all, to remember that you may be the trigger, but it is not about you. It is not about how you are, or what you did, or what you didn't do. It might manifest like that. Somebody comes in and wants to afflict pain, or to bully your kid, or to bully you as a child. For the most part, many times it comes because that person that is bullying, or that person that is in the divorce, creating so many unreasonable actions, alienating your child from you. That happens a lot. There is a deep place in that person that is really unhappy with themselves. Now you say, well, but still they're inflicting pain. Okay, it is not about me, it is about them, but they're still causing and they're inflicting pain. How do you stay focused in your space? Honed in your space, recognizing that what is happening is not happening. Is not happening because you did something. It's because that person is really unhappy with the situation, is really unhappy with the fact that you are thriving. That you are thriving, that you are growing, that you are finding your path, you are finding your voice. And if you went through a divorce or a separation, it is for your benefit to see that that person being in your life was exactly what you needed in order for you to be here today. This is how we are so connected. And so, in the last week, I talked about relational tension. About relational tension that is happening when you're moving, for example, in Passover, from one state of mind to the other state of mind. From one place of bondage and from imprisonment, from your ghetto, from your place of darkness, into the place of light. When you are moving from one place to the other, a place that you've been already situated in for many years, and you have a habit, or you have some habits, or you have some kind of a repetitive thought pattern. When we move from that place, when we want to move from one place to the other, the move is very, very difficult. It's trying to pull from one place to the other. So what is happening, it's like you pull a chewing gum, or you pull this cotton away from this ball of cotton from the thorn. It's very hard. You have to be very delicate if you want to get really out everything. And many times it is hard to move from one state to the other. Many times it is hard to move from one state to the other, because we're so comfortable in that place. So there is a purpose, right? We're not creating. So there is kind of an isolation, right? We're talking about every time about co-creation, about coming together. You are sitting here listening, whether you're in the car, whether you're at home, whether you're cooking, whether you're just sitting in the sun. There is a reason. Everything is from that, to move from one state to the other, there is a reason. It is an intentional isolation. So there is this relational tension, this tension between the place that you've been in and between the place that you want to be in. So it is not about where you were or where you're going to, but it is about the between, the in the between, right? The between these states. How are you operating? How are you thinking about this relationship between the old place and the new place, this relationship tension? At work, with your partner, with your ex. And when I say partner, it is not necessarily that you're ending a relationship, but you may have come to a place where you recognize that something in the relationship needs to shift in order to preserve the overall big picture of that relationship. So there has to be some change in perception, in some, let's say, in a certain valve in that whole machine. Right? It's like you're upgrading something in your car. The car is your body. You are the soul. You are the driver. And you're upgrading. You took out the old sound system and you put a brand new sound system with a subwoofer or something. Right? You still have the car, but just now you made your car ride more enjoyable. And that is on the physical level. Right? That is on the, just to illustrate. But really we're shifting something. So when we want to shift away, like in passing over from one state to the other, if you're going through the pain of separation and you did not want this separation, or maybe you wanted but you weren't ready for that, you're going to go through some separation pains, whether you admit to it in the beginning or not. And many times, to avoid the pain, we right away go into other relationships, or we right away occupy ourselves with so many things that we don't have enough time to think or to dive in, to feel how it does it feel to be separated from somebody. And sometimes it will be right in the beginning, but because our survival nature kicks in and the mind wants to protect us, so many times we find ourselves being occupied with other things or other relationship, and then suddenly 2 years, 4 years, 10 years, something that wasn't dealt with, suddenly that appears. So you're going through a separation, a desired isolation, a desired separation between one state to the other. So there is a relational tension. Now here is the other thing. What happens when two want to come together? Do you have a relational tension there? Do you feel that other things, other stories, other experiences that appear to be similar are coming again and creating tension? So you want to connect, but then you're afraid to connect. Do you feel that relational tension, that tension between when you want to connect with somebody and that person reminds you of A, B, C, and that person said this and that, and all things? This is your measure. What is your measuring tool to see if you are on the right path or not? The number here is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. So how do you measure that? How do you measure that choice? Or how do you feel if that choice is really resonating with you? I want to respond to that question. How do you stay positive in a negative environment? I heard this, I got this question on my feed, and I wanted to respond to, it's not about responding, it's about bringing a perspective. So what I would like you to try, that person, and you know who you are, is let's look at a checkerboard. You play checkers, right? Or played. You know, this is where we have everything laid down for us, like a map. And when we have everything, this is the process, this is one of the processes that I go through when we do work. So I just want to give you a glimpse of what that may look like. So when we have everything laid down as a map, and you look at the back line of the checkers, right? We have three rows of checkers that are playing against one another. And it is always to find the angle in which to approach. And so when we map your experiences, when you put down everything, and you see and you look at yourself, and you feel everything in the morning before you get into work. First of all, when we start in the morning, it is all a clean slate. It is like the ocean, very flat. What do you choose to make of that day? It starts way before you even get to work. It can start also even the night before. And the negativity is not, or what is called in Hebrew Yetzer Hara, which is the negative inclination or negative spirit or negative desire, because these desires, it is also a desire. It comes from the place of desires, comes from the root sacral chakra. All these insecurities or beliefs that we tell ourselves when people tell us something. So it starts way in the morning. The choice that we make to get out of bed, when we're getting out of bed. What is the choice that we're making when we are getting out of bed? How are we looking at the day? What are you doing to cultivate and to preserve that feeling? Because you will go out and you will go to work and there will be attacks and there will be people that don't like you and there will be people that are angry or bitter. And then you come along, cheery, happy, brings light into the office, and there is somebody who cannot handle that relational tension. That tension of where you are in a positive place versus where they are in this negative. They see the contrast. They feel the contrast. It's not about what they feel. It's about how do you feel with that contrast. To put it in a very contrasty example, if somebody tells you to jump off a building, will you jump? Well, of course not. If everybody goes off and decides to jump off a building, will you do the same? The question is to see where are you standing in this relation. And what I want to suggest for and to recommend for you is there is a book by Don Miguel Ruiz, The Four Agreements. Wonderful book, wonderful. It's not a long read, but very to the point. It comes from, it's based on a Toltec knowledge. And this is also what is talking about in the Zohar and in the Torah and the Kabbalah. There are four points that it makes there. And I'll loosely translate that. Or not translate, but reword it. Be accountable to your word. Don't take it personally. Don't assume anything. And do the best you can in every situation. So these are four agreements. And what are these agreements? What is an agreement? An agreement is something that we already accepted. So if somebody walks down the street and curses you and just goes crazy on you on the street, what do you do usually? Do you respond to that? Do you feel bad the whole day? Or do you just kind of like ignore and move on? It's the same thing if you're on the road. If somebody cuts you, do you get upset? Do you think that person really cut you and cut in front of you because of you? Because they want to cut you? To cut you in the road? Specifically, personally, you? It has nothing to do with you. Same thing, like it has nothing to do with the fact that person walked down the street. The same way that it has nothing to do with you when there is negative energy in a work environment. There is nothing to do with you when your ex-partner or partner or something that is going negative with you, that is going negatively between your relationship. It has nothing to do with you, and yet it takes two to tango, especially in this kind of situations in a relationship. So you can be the trigger. but it is not necessarily because of you that that person is angry at you or your partner is angry at you. And so it is a process. It is a process to go through and understand and map the experiences without any relationship to the emotional state, the trigger state. Because when we get triggered, that's a trigger time. When we get triggered, many times we're getting triggered from our own place. So one person did A, triggered you, but the trigger that you are experiencing doesn't come from that person. It comes from your own experience, your own experiences. That person reminded you of something, so you were triggered. And now you have a world war. That person is upset with you because you triggered them. You were triggered by that person, so you feel low energy, or you feel angry, which is, if we don't take it to the positive, it will become a low energy. It will become a negative energy. And there the cycle goes. And so there is the first verse, the first chapter in Psalms gives a wonderful insider look. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. אשרי האיש אשר לא הלך בעצת רשעים, ובדרך חטאים לא עמד, ובמושב ליצים לא ישב. If you go meet somebody, you're going to a certain place. If you go, you're bound to stay. If you stay, you're bound to sit. And it is advisable not even to sit physically in the chair where mockers sit. And I want to focus on that last part. What is a mocker? Well, you're saying somebody who is making fun of somebody, somebody who is making a negative connotation, a negative comments about somebody, somebody who is taking the jewel of creation and making fun of them. You know, there are stand-up comedians that go up to the stage, pick up somebody in the audience and make fun of them and express their way with words on the expense of the viewer. And the viewer is supposedly happy, but then he goes home and are like, oh, they made fun of me in front of hundreds of people. And you paid for that. Making fun of somebody or taking somebody's presence and mocking it, that is the contrary of what we are here for and why we are here. We are here to co-create, not to co-isolate. So the question says, see, the English translation is very loose. That is why I'm not very, to say the least, not keen about the English translation of any of the translations. It says, sit in the company of mockers. But this is not what it says in Hebrew. It says in Hebrew, in the seat of a mocker, don't sit. In that physical chair, don't sit. You ask yourself, what do you mean? We have an imprint on everything physical. Because the spiritual is holding the physical, we have an imprint on everything physical that we do. How many times did you walk into a house or a restaurant or a place or an event and you didn't feel right? How many times do you came into an environment and you really didn't feel positive? How many times do you go to a place of work and you really feel negative there? There is an imprint in everything. There is a halo. There is an energetic field around everything, because everything is energy. And so when we are coming in contact with somebody who is negative, when we are in a negative space, we are bound to become that. The pressure that we have from the society is very strong, because we are all the time constantly trying to, unless you are aware and conscious of it, you try to please and to be seen good and to be cherished and to be loved and to be accepted. And this is in our DNA. We're not born to be alone. We're born to connect. Adam, as the name was given, was not only for a man, but it was for a man and a woman as a whole. So we are here to connect. So when we are feeling these negative energies, these things stay in the physical realm. We leave our imprint on the physical realm. And if you know that this is where this group set, that person set, it is going to you who asked about the negativity in the workplace, even their desk, even their chair. If you sit there, you are absorbing that energy debris that they left behind them. This is what it is explained also in the mystery, in the Zohar, and in the Gemara. It's like, do not mix your energy with that energy, with that field. This has been a wonderful time. We're already out of time. I want to invite you to facebook.com/bodysoulsound. Send me your thoughts, send me your feelings, your questions. And I send you with a wonderful week, a week of acceptance, a week of joy, a week of coming together. Have a wonderful week. Leitrot. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra. Create what you speak. Dilan Azulay. Only on LA Talk Radio.